Last night, the conference report on the new farm bill was released. I'm still going through many of the details, but I can say that I'm very disappointed the conferees decided to expand the loopholes on farm subsidy. You know how that relates to me? I've been trying to get a hard cap on such subsidies and to make sure that the people that get the subsidies are real farmers. So I know everyone on this call knows how I feel about this issue. To say I'm disappointed in making more money available to the wealthiest farmers and many non-farmers is severe understatement. Especially when the impact of the large farmers being allowed to manipulate the system is that young and beginning farmers face even larger subsidies or larger hurdles to get into farming. With actions like these, I worry that future farming, I also have trouble seeing myself supporting such a farm bill. And so let me expand on, I have a hard time supporting a farm bill. First of all, the expansion is to include nieces and nephews. They weren't in the 2014 farm bill. And then I hear excuses. Well, you got to include nieces and nephews if you want to get people started in young people started in farming. They can get started in farming and qualify without being included in this loophole. So here's what I'm thinking. I've been trying through three farm bills to get a hard cap. I get it through the Senate every time. One time I got the same language through both the House and the Senate. And I got screwed out of it in conference because people in Southern agriculture don't like it because they want to help the wealthiest of farmers and not care about the taxpayers and not care about not subsidizing big farmers to get bigger and helping, lending our help through the taxpayers to the medium and small side farmers. So I've been trying for 3 years. And it gets worse and worse and worse. Now, everybody's going to think that I'm mad at Roberts for this. I have great respect for Roberts, and I think he's done the best he can do to get most of the farm bill right, except he has failed on this issue. I don't hold that against him. He's a good senator and as concerned about prosperity in agriculture and helping the family farmer as any. So I'm going to, regardless of my respect for Roberts, I'm going to vote against this farm bill because I've been fighting so long for this, and if I would vote for this farm bill, I think it'd be interpreted that I'm not really serious about having a payment limitation on farmers and making sure only real farmers get the help from the farm bill and to prevent people that don't have dirt under their fingers and could be on Wall Street or anyplace else getting the subsidy that the only reason they earn it is they're listed as a manager on a farm that they may not even pay much attention to. So I wish I could support this bill for everything that's good in it and compliment Chairman Roberts for every good thing he got in it. But I don't want to be seen as being intellectually dishonest as promoting something for a long time and then failing to get it and let people think I really wasn't serious about it. And I think if I voted for this farm bill, people would say, are you really serious about what you've been trying to do through three farm bills?
Good morning, Senator. Senator, is the main reason you're voting against the farm bill the fact that it doesn't have the payment limit provision and the actively engaged provision in the measure? Is that the main reason? Are there any other reasons?
No. And let me explain to you that it isn't just that there's not a payment limitation. It's that the payment limitation that was in the present farm bill was very effective, ineffective payment limitation. And when you expand it to nieces and nephews, the loophole that you could already not only drive a truck through, but you could drive a John Deere combine through it. And it's just a loophole that gets bigger and bigger and bigger.
Is the bill going to pass? Or are you going to be able to keep it from passing? Or what's going to happen, sir?
I don't know, but I assume that it's going to pass. Just so you know I've stated all I can really say about this farm bill. I think Roberts, except for supporting Chuck Grassley's payment limits and not vigorously enough backing him, that he's otherwise written a very good farm bill.
Good morning, Senator. You mentioned that you're still going through the bill. I imagine every senator's staff is still trying to get through it. How concerned are you that with this sort of rush at the end here, there could be some provisions that we wake up in a few months and realize we're in there but didn't see really the light of day?
Yeah. Well, let me give you an example of what happened in 2014. Not because it was rushed through, because I can't say back 4 years ago was it rushed through, but we wrote something on ARC that ended up not being justified, that brought about the inequality of somebody in one county getting a massive amount of money under the ARC program and somebody just across the line getting zero. It wasn't intended by Congress. We've tried to correct it, and we think that we have eliminated a great deal of the inequality, but we can't obviously prove that through the ARC program with the language we have, but that's the intent. But it could show up wrong, not because this bill's being passed in the last couple weeks of this Congress, but just because it's sometimes impossible to put in legal language exactly what you want to accomplish.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman. Is there some other avenue you could pursue on payment limits?
Well, I'm not going to give up, but the best chance is every 5 years when you have a farm bill. And you know, I'm 85 years old, 90 when I run for re-election. Am I going to get it done? And you never know whether you're going to live long enough to get it done. So I'm going to be looking for other avenues. Let's just say the answer is yes to your question. Is there other possibilities? Not that I can tell you now, but I won't miss an opportunity if there is one.
Yeah, good morning, Senator. If you could go back a second and defend your position in light of what was said at the staff briefing yesterday afternoon, staff, majority and minority staff were indicating that the payment limit compromise was justified by the high cost of farming and the high average farmer's age, north of 60, I believe one of the staffers said. They believe that the loopholes that you describe really are a financial incentive to get people to return to the farm because of the need as many agree, to have new blood or continue generations on the farm. Can you go back to this? How is the,
I've already
not a financial
I've already spoke to it, that nieces and nephews can qualify now for it. They don't have to have this expansion here to be a non-farmer to have some incentive to get into farming. And answer to your question about the average age of farmers, whether it's a little bit north of 60 or the 58 years that I've always used, the average age of farmers has been 58 years, or let's say 50 to 60 years, almost every year that I've been talking about it. And that's been a long, long time.
Hi, Senator. I just wanted to ask about, as you look through the bill, are there other parts that surprised you or that, if any other parts had surprised you or some significant provisions that you hit on?
Yeah. I hope that our problem's taken care of, and you heard me talk about that, so I won't repeat that, but I can't absolutely promise it, but that's our goal. It wouldn't be our goal to create the inequity in the first place in the 2014 Farm Bill, but it happened. Then there's some issues with conservation, but I haven't finished my... I'm very interested in conservation, but I haven't finished a study of all the conservation provisions. So if you want to ask me a week from now on conservation, I'd be glad to give you a more definitive answer on that. But I can say from my constituents, from the emails that are coming in, we hear more concern about the conservation provisions than anything else that they ask about in the Farm Bill. So that's why I'm paying a lot of attention to it.
Yeah. Thank you.
You mentioned that Senator Roberts did the best he could. You've gotten your payment limitations through the Senate, once through both houses. And you mentioned that Southern agriculture is sort of what the holdup is. Are there particular constituencies in the House or particular members of the House that you think this would have been a deal breaker for, and that's why Senator Roberts had to let it go?
Yeah, the chairman of the House Agriculture Committee, Conaway. He doesn't mind having people that are wealthy, people that aren't directly involved in the farming operation from profiting. Under our existing rules, you can have one corporation that's got 36 managers. They all qualify for the payment limit. And I suppose, just generally speaking, he comes from a part of agriculture where the culture of that agriculture is dependency on the government. And he backs that sort of an approach, where I think Midwesterners tend to be more less want to be dependent upon farmers. Just look at all you got to do is compare the price supports for peanuts, cotton, and rice compared to what corn, soybeans, and wheat get. And you'll see exactly backing up. In fact, one of those programs, and I'm not sure which one of it is, the government guarantees you a profit. There's no aspect of farming in the Midwest with corn, soybean, and wheats where the government program is so outrageously giving out money that you're guaranteed a profit.